NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So in der zweiten Stunde ist wie gesagt Dominic Harrison alias Youngblood mein Studiogast und er kommt gleich zu Wort. Erstmal Musik von seiner neuen EP, The Underrated Youth EP, und das Titelstück Hope for the Underrated Youth. Das war also Hope for the Underrated Youth von Youngblood von der EP. The Underrated Youth, and Dominic Harrison is jetzt bei mir im Studio. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very well, man. Are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Really good to see you.
Thanks you for, too, man.
Thanks for coming
of
down.
Of course, bro.
And, I mean, off air, we've already established that we're both more or less the north of England.
Absolutely.
So lots to talk about, really.
Always, man. I've got a better hot pot.
Right. The meat pies are probably better in Manchester, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Listening to Hope for the underrated. I think it's evident, and I think that's the most important thing, that you've managed to maintain standards in terms of songwriting, because that first album, everybody agreed, was of such a high standard. You set quite a high bar for yourself, didn't you?
Yeah.
Was that a slight worry for you, or are you not in that kind of phase at the moment where you kind of worry about the future? And that kind
yeah, to be honest, I don't know. I think the first record for me was interesting because it was about what I thought. It was all about me to sound a bit of an idiot, you know what I mean? It was all about my experiences, how the world almost oppressed me. And then the new stuff, as the community grew, and I call them a community, I don't call it a fandom or whatever, it's not me. It became less and less about me every day, and more about us. And I think even my songwriting's getting better because they make me feel like it's all right to be who I am. And that defeats kind of the insecurity shield and allows me to speak from my heart. So this EP is about, is more emotional. If the first album's about my head, the EP's about my heart, and the next album is going to be about my soul.
Okay. So you got everything planned out?
Yeah, I have without planning it. You know what I mean? It's so weird, man. Nothing is planned with this project. No, ever. Okay. Down to anything, and I never want it to be planned, because if it's planned, it ain't music, it's maths. And I got into music to get away from maths, trust me.
Right, okay. Ja, also Dominic sagt, dass das erste Album im Nachhinein ging wirklich um ihn, seine Gedanken, also sein seelisches Dasein. Und es ging darum, wie er sich unterdrückt fühlte in der Gesellschaft. Und er merkt jetzt im Laufe der Zeit, dass es die neuen Songs gehen nicht so viel um ihn. Sie handeln nicht so sehr von ihm, sondern es geht mehr um seinen Mitmenschen auch. Und das ist eine natürliche Entwicklung, denkt er, weil er inzwischen viele Anhänger hat. Er nennt es seine Community. Er nennt sie nicht Fans, sondern seine Anhänger, seine Community. Und deshalb, er spricht auch für diese Fans und für diese Anhänger, die dann ihn verstehen. Und er hat das Gefühl, dass er nicht mehr für sich alleine schreibt, sondern auch für diese anderen Menschen, die ihn so interessant finden. Und damit hat er seine eigene emotionale Unsicherheit verloren und er fühlt sich einfach wohler in seiner Haut. Und er glaubt, dass deshalb, dass sein Songwriting sogar besser geworden ist. Er glaubt, dass es sogar eine Steigerung gibt, was das Niveau betrifft. Und er sagt, dass das erste Album ging um alles, was sich in seinem Kopf abspielte, was für verrückte Gedanken er hatte. Und diese neue EP geht um sein Herz eigentlich, so Herzensangelegenheiten. Und er denkt, das nächste Album, die nächste Platte, wird wirklich um seine Seele gehen, um das Spirituelle. Und er sagt, es ist trotzdem nicht wirklich alles durchgeplant. Hat sich einfach alles auf natürliche Weise dann so entwickelt. Und jetzt hören wir noch ein Stück von der neuen EP von Youngblood. Die EP heißt The Underrated Youth. Und wir hören das Stück jetzt Original Me. And did you at any point in time, looking back, realize that you were going to be a striking and forceful and extrovert kind of artist? I mean, was that innate in your kind of confidence when you were growing up? Or was there a turning point where you actually, well, I'm finding my feet now, I know this is the role I'm going to play?
I mean, absolutely. I think it was always in me. It was always there, but it was externally suppressed. You know, like, in a place like Doncaster that's so working class and industrial and rainy and very set in their ways. I was in fishnet tights and makeup, and people couldn't understand that. And I think that suppressed my confidence, and that made me feel like an alien, and that led to issues in my mind that led to unacceptance of myself, that became a simmering pan. All my life, it bubbled and bubbled and bubbled and bubbled and bubbled and bubbled and bubbled until the lid blew off and I thought, you know what? I am not going to behave in a way that's going to suit other people. I'm just going to be myself and figure out and try and figure out if there's anyone out there like me.
So you just think basically you were nonconformist by nature?
Completely. I loved the idea of chaos. That's why I think I was obsessed with, like, Oasis and the Arctic Monkeys and Marilyn Manson, Lady Gaga, Bowie, Disruptors. You know? And I just said to myself, I'm just going to call that this first record was a call out. It's like, is there anybody out there? And it turned out, yeah, there's a lot of people out there.
More than you thought.
More than I thought. Like, this is completely, like, bigger than anyone ever expected, but it almost feels like we're just getting started.
And what do you think the secret was? It can't just be the chaos, and there are a lot of people in nonconformists.
People say that to
me. I mean, just the high standard of songwriting at the end of the day.
I think the fact that it's never been about me and them. It's been about us. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm, okay.
You know what I mean? Someone came up to me at some arty-farty music event last week and was like, what's the formula? Like, as if they wanted me to give it up so they could put it into one of their graphs or whatever that they like to talk about. I was like, I don't know. I just genuinely found people who I care about and they care about me. And that's why I meet them every day. I want to touch my fans. I want to smell them. I want to cuddle them. Because they are the only people in the world who make me feel like it's all right to be myself. I've been depressed. I've been suicidal. I've been upset because I didn't think it was all right to be who I am. But I've got a family now that tell me it's all right to be who I am and I belong somewhere just as much as they belong somewhere. That's what it is, I think.
Okay, er sagt, dass eine eher schwierige Kindheit und Jugend in Doncaster verbracht hat, weil das ist eine sehr arbeiterklasse Stadt im Nordengland und da ist es nicht so gut eigentlich, wenn man unangepasst ist oder es wird nicht so, man wird schief angesehen, wenn man merkwürdig rumläuft. Und er hat als Junge und als Teenager schon Strümpfe getragen und Schminke getragen. Und er sah natürlich nicht aus wie der typische Arbeiterklasse-Typ in Doncaster. Und deshalb war es ihm von Anfang an klar, dass er nicht wirklich dazugehörte, dass er ein ganz anderer Typ war. Und er meinte, das muss sein Naturell gewesen sein, einfach irgendwie rebellisch zu sein. Und er liebt Chaos. Er meinte, so die Bands, die er in der Vergangenheit sehr geliebt hat, waren Bands wie Oasis, Marilyn Manson, David Bowie, Lady Gaga, nur ein paar Beispiele. Also Menschen, die keine Angst haben, irgendwie völlig extravagant und aus der Reihe zu tanzen. Und er denkt, dass es kein Rezept in dem Sinne gibt. Die Leute fragen ihn, ob es ein Rezept zu seinem Erfolg gibt. Er meinte, das gibt es nicht. Er meinte, es ist alles instinktiv. Und er sagt immer wieder, er sagt das Wort us. Es geht um uns. Er meinte, es geht um ihn und seine Anhänger, um seine Community. Das ist das, was ihm so viel bedeutet. Und sie inspirieren ihn so sehr. Und er hat, seitdem er diese Fans hat, das Gefühl, dass er wirklich eine Art Familie hat. Und er meinte, er kennt es schon, Depression gehabt zu haben. Er hat schon sogar Selbstmordgedanken gehabt. Und das hat er alles hinter sich gebracht, jetzt, weil es so eine positive Entwicklung gewesen ist. Und er hält so viel von seinen Fans, von seinen Anhängern. Er möchte sie am liebsten wirklich ständig kennenlernen. Er möchte sie jeden Tag kennenlernen. Er möchte sie sogar umarmen und mit denen kuscheln sogar. Und er meinte, die bedeuten ihm einfach alles. So, I've been talking about this first album for quite a bit. So, should we take a song from this album? Is there one now in hindsight which means more than any others, or is that?
I think so, man. I think, to be honest, one that really sticks out to me is Every Night is Polygraph Eyes. I think it's about such an important issue to me. And amongst all the chaos and all the rowdiness and all the jumping and all the fighting and fainting and explosion comes this stillness with this song.
Okay.
And it becomes like, it's like the room implodes. It's like there's that much energy and passion in it that the roof wants to blow off, but it can't.
Okay.
So the energy just comes right back into the crowd.
So wir hören ein Lied jetzt von seinem Debütalbum 21st Century Liability, das letztes Jahr erschienen ist, und zwar Polygraph Eyes. Und dieses Lied ist ihm ganz besonders wichtig. Er denkt, es ist letztendlich das wichtigste Lied überhaupt für ihn. Und er meinte, dass es eine Art so fast ein Raum der Stille ist, gewissermaßen, im Vergleich zu anderen Songs, die er gemacht hat, wo er oft so wild ist und so extrovertiert und so explosiv. Und in diesem Fall ist es eigentlich eher, dass er implodiert eigentlich mit diesem Song. Es ist ein Song, der eher nach innen gekehrt ist. Und die Stimmung findet er einfach sehr wichtig. Und deshalb hören wir das jetzt. Polygraph Eyes von dem Album 21st Century Liability von Youngblood. So das war Polygraph Eyes von dem Album 21st Century Liability. Dominic alias Youngblood ist jetzt bei mir gerade im Studio. And it's an obvious thing to say, really. I mean, you're proving the point since we started this conversation now, is that you're opinionated. I mean, you're obviously a person who's very keen to express his views and his view of the world. And to my mind, this fact that you're so opinionated, that is almost, it actually blends into the music. It's kind of like, if you weren't like this, then the music would probably be completely different.
Absolutely.
Is it the opinions form the music itself?
It's, yeah, man, as I say, man, it's not. It's like the music is secondary to me. It's the idea. Yeah. It's about the idea. The music is the soundtrack to the idea.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's about, like, artists, being an artist to me and not a singer is about what you leave behind. Not like, oh man, he had so many good songs. It's like, nah, it's what they did to the world and what they did to each other. You know what I mean? Like, you come to one of my shows, it's at 10 for the whole show. The ball doesn't drop because I'm playing tennis with my fan base continuously.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If I drop the ball, they knock it back to me. And then when they drop the ball, I knock it back to them. It's mental. It's just, I don't know, like, playing live to me is the best thing in the world. You know, it just represents exactly what we are. A community that's completely full of contradictions but shouting louder than anyone else because we believe in it.
Okay. And I think also, and I've seen you play live as well, and I think what's interesting is that the actual lyrical content doesn't get lost in the live show, which can often be the case with bands, that they might have important lyrics and somehow they get blurred in the, just because of the atmosphere there, and they get lost, and that's, they're still first and foremost, because, I mean, you actually play quite a few instruments. I mean, you're like a multi-instrumentalist, but that doesn't really seem to matter, because at the end of the day, it seems to be more about your personality.
Yeah, it's
and the
about
way you
the
bring
words.
It, it's more about the words, and it, you know, it doesn't really matter how many instruments you play or don't play. It's you first and foremost, and as you say.
Yeah, yeah. As I say, man, I'm obsessed with, like, Morrissey and Alex Turner and Chris Difford from Squeeze. And,
well, that's going back a bit.
Do you know what I mean? I love old music because I think that's where lyrics really, really, really mattered. And Robert Smith had a cure. You know what I mean? I think I'm obsessed with artists like that. But modern artists who are those kind of people for me are artists like Tyler, the Creator.
Hmm.
Or modern, like Alex Turner, Tyler, the Creator, Matt Healy from 1975, I think they genuinely care about lyrics. You know what I mean? And that's good. That's refreshing. It's important to not throw them away because that's how you people know what you're about.
And so it's interesting. You've actually made music, which sounds pretty fresh and original, but nonetheless you have all these role models, and it seems to have functioned perfectly that you've managed to get a certain amount of inspiration from that's rubbed off on you, but you've managed to build your own identity nonetheless.
Yeah, just nick a bit from everyone.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't sound like any of these artists you just mentioned.
No, it's the feeling I got from them. It's weird. It went into my ears, down into my stomach, digested, went into my bloodstream, up to my heart, into my brain, and then out of my mouth.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just kind of bubbled away inside my body. And I always want to... I ask myself 3 questions before I release a song. Like, am I proud of it? Could anyone else sing it? And is it 100% true to me in this moment right now? And if I'm proud of it, I believe no one else could sing it, and it's 100% true to me in the moment, then I'll release it. You know what I mean?
You can't really go wrong then, can you?
That's what I'm saying to you, because people can say what they want, but you're just being yourself.
Okay, er sagt, dass die Texte sind ihm eigentlich wichtiger als die Musik. Er meinte, die Musik ist eine Art Soundtrack zu seiner Grundidee. Und es geht wirklich darum, seine Ideen zu vermitteln. Das ist das Wichtigste überhaupt. Und er sagt, dass wenn alles vorbei ist und wenn Geschichte geschrieben wird, dann geht es nicht darum, wie viele gute Songs ein Künstler geschrieben hat, sondern man will eigentlich wissen, wie bedeutend der Künstler war. Und wie bedeutend er war, das ist nicht nur, wie viele gute Songs er geschrieben hat, sondern ob er die Welt wirklich verändert hat und ob er die Welt bewegt hat auf irgendeine Weise. Und das ist das hohe Ziel, das er angesetzt hat. Live zu spielen, findet er unglaublich wichtig. Das ist das Wichtigste auch überhaupt für ihn. Er meinte, er hat es verglichen mit einem Tennisspiel, also zwischen ihm und dem Publikum, wie es eine Art so Schwung beim Tennis, wie so ein Ball hin und her fliegt. Und er meinte, das ist die Energie, die er beschreibt bei einem Konzert von Youngblood. Die Vorbilder, die er hat, sind teilweise wirklich ziemlich, liegen weit zurück in der Geschichte der Musik. Also Morrissey, Alex Turner, Chris Divitt von Squeeze, Robert Smith von The Cure. Und interessant ist natürlich, dass er in Wirklichkeit überhaupt nicht klingt wie diese Künstler, die ich gerade genannt habe. Aber er hat die trotzdem als Inspirationsquelle benutzt, um eigentlich seine eigene Identität effektiv aufzubauen. Und er meinte, er hat so 3 Grundregeln, die er braucht, um ein Lied zu schreiben, beziehungsweise bis ein Lied veröffentlicht wird. Er meinte, er muss wissen, dass er stolz auf das Lied ist. Er muss auch wissen, dass nicht irgendjemand das Lied singen könnte, sondern eigentlich nur er. Es klingt wirklich nur wie seine Musik. Und der 3. Punkt ist, er hatte das Gefühl, dass er sich treu geblieben ist, was den Song betrifft. Und nun noch ein Stück von dem Debütalbum 21st Century Liability von Youngblood. Here's California. I mean, it applies to all your songs, but I mean, is there a particular song you mentioned these 3 rules, being proud of it, could anyone sing it, being true to yourself? I mean, is a song on this album here where that was foremost in your mind?
Absolutely, man. It was probably. I mean, the whole album was formulated around that idea.
Mm.
So every song, but Kill Somebody, I think, is very, very important off the album.
Okay, but
And leading into the EP, it will absolutely 100% be.
Yeah, we can hear a song from the EP that you
hope
as well.
For,
yeah,
Hope for the Underrated Youth.
Okay,
will be the idea. Idea of, I don't know, I think that song was like kind of where everything came together into a, like the tip of the mountain, you know what I mean? Hope for the Underrated Youth, like it was a turning point.
The title track, you mean, now, the EP as a whole?
Yeah, but like, okay. As I say, the song Hope for the Underrated Youth, it stemmed everything. It represents my fan base, it represents kind of the beginning and the middle of the story. We haven't kind of got to the end yet. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, we've already heard that, though, so we'll hear Kill Somebody, if that's okay.
Yeah,
because that also, it certainly lives up to scrutiny. It stands up to scrutiny, doesn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, man. Yeah. It's like, no matter how much you don't want me to, or us to be here, we're not going to go away. Because,
as in young people kind of making a mark for themselves.
Yeah, of speaking. And that's the difference between our generation and past generations, I genuinely think. Like, I've been all over the world, you know what I mean, if you like. And the one common denominator in young people I've met in Hamburg to Frankfurt, to Brussels, to Amsterdam, to Perth, Australia, to Salt Lake City, Utah, to New York City, to San Francisco, to Manchester, England, is the strive for equality, the intelligence and the unity that's embedded inside our heads. Division is just such a saturated ideology to my generation. And we ain't bothered about it. We want to be united. We want to be free to be who we want to be. Whatever shape, whatever size, whatever colour, whatever sexuality, however way I want to identify, I'm gonna, because that's simply my right now. And if you don't like it, cut off your arm.
Okay. Ja, wir hören das Stück jetzt, Kill Somebody, von dem Album 21st Century Liability. Auch ein sehr wichtiger Song für ihn. Er meinte, es ist ein Aufruf für die Jugend, so eine Hymne für die Jugend. Er meinte, appelliert an die Intelligenz von jungen Menschen, dass sie zusammenhalten sollen und dass sie sich selbst verwirklichen sollen. Und sie sollen kämpfen gegen Unterdrückung. Und vor allem, sie sollen nicht polarisieren. Sie sollen sich nicht irgendwie, die sollen es nicht zulassen, dass sie gespalten werden. Weil zusammen ist man stark. Und er meinte, die Erfahrung, die er gemacht hat, ist es egal, wo er war auf der Welt. Ob in Hamburg oder Frankfurt, Brüssel, Perth, Salt Lake City. Überall sind die Kids alle gleich, dass die Jugendlichen sind alle gleich und sie haben das Potenzial, tatsächlich also die Welt auf sehr positive Weise zu verändern. Aber hören jetzt das Stück Kill Somebody von dem Album 21st Century Liability von Youngblood. Das war also Kill Somebody von dem Album 21st Century Liability von Youngblood und Dominic ist bei mir immer noch in Studio. It's interesting because when you actually were finding your feet as an artist, I mean, you basically you've lived through all these miserable years of Brexit and the planning of Brexit. I mean, has that been something, a fact, which has affected you creatively?
Absolutely. Culture affects art. Always. I think that's why there's such a shift in young people right now. Because simply we've had enough.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Look what's going on in the world. Like, people are denying climate change. People are making things like abortion illegal, like in 2019, man. You know what I mean? Like, taking people's rights away. And you ask a young person, are you into politics 8 years ago? I'd say, no way, man, that's boring. Because I was that, you know what I mean, when I was, whatever, 13. But we have to be now. Because look what's going on. You know what I mean? We have to, and that's why I called it Help for the Underrated Youth, because I see help in my generation. Because you just got to look at people like Greta T, and Emma Gonzalez. You know what I mean? The future's genuinely bright because we're the ones who are in it. I genuinely feel that.
Okay. Ja, er sagt, dass er politisch und sozial bewusst ist. Und er denkt, dass es wirklich eine ganz andere neue Generation ist, die sehr aktiv ist, die jungen Menschen sehr aktiv. Er meinte, vor 8 Jahren, wenn man das vergleicht, die Jugendlichen vor 8 Jahren waren total apolitisch und jetzt hat sich das total verändert durch Greta natürlich und Emma Gonzalez und solche Personen. Und er meinte, dass es gibt solche wichtige Themen, mit denen man sich beschäftigen muss, wie Klimawechsel. Und er meinte, es ist unglaublich, dass es Länder gibt, in denen sowas wie Abtreibung illegal ist zum Beispiel. Und es ist einfach notwendig, dass man sich dagegen wehrt. Und er hat sich auch verändert. Er meinte, vor einigen Jahren war es ihm auch alles egal. Und er denkt, es hat sich wirklich was zum Positiven verändert. Und er denkt, dass die Zukunft rosig ist, wirklich, weil die jungen Menschen so ambitioniert sind und so motiviert sind. I think very important, actually, is also, it's the way you express it. It's the way you put it over. I think it's important that it doesn't sound
preachy.
Not just preachy, also not too academic. You don't talk above people's heads.
I think
I think you explain yourself in terms people understand.
Because I am not trying to be a politician. I'm not trying to be Mother Teresa. I'm not trying to tell people what to think. Trust me, they can think for themselves. I know that. You know what I mean? They're far too intelligent.
I think it's also interesting, you don't actually call them fans, but you also don't really call them kids either, do you?
No.
You call them, because that could be patronising as well, can't it?
Absolutely. As I say, that's what the people called me. And I was like, you know what I mean? I'm like, they're people. You know what I mean? And they're my people, and I'm theirs. You know what I mean? I think that's the one thing I really, really want to get straight. I don't ever want to tell people what to think. Because I'm completely full of contradictions.
Okay.
Because that's just who I am. That's just human nature. And we are. But it's all right to be. Because we're just figuring this whole thing out. You know what I mean? I remember I saw a John Lennon interview once. And it really stuck with me. It was just like, tell the truth and love unconditionally. And that's what it means to be free.
Okay.
And with this, man, like, to be free is what it means to be successful to me. I wrote a poem the other day about it, when I couldn't sleep. You know what I mean? Have I got my phone? I might read that. Can I read this poem that I wrote?
Yeah, if you can. Find it,
I couldn't sleep, man. I was on my tour bus and I never sleep recently.
As long as I have to start translating a poem then on air.
No, you don't have to. They'll hear it. If you like it, go. You know what I mean? It's on my Instagram and that. But I wrote this poem about kind of the way I was feeling, and I was, you know what I mean? I couldn't sleep. It was 4:30 a.m. in the morning. I had to be up at 7. It was 3:56. That's why I called it. It was close to 4.
Okay.
But it's called 3:56.
And you were still awake at 4:30?
Yeah, always. Mm. Yeah, never sleep, man. So I think I'm in love with the nighttime. It's like my brain becomes awake and I can think straight for the first time. Through the days I have dreams, how real they seem. Is the present just a line in the sand? Is the past just smoke that fell through my hands? Is the future just a pulled back rubber band that I don't want to let go of just yet in case it hurts a little more than I planned? And they expect me to see tomorrow clearly. Well, fuck that and fuck them. Clearly is dreary and the ordinary is boring. To be unique is to be free. And to be free is what it means to be successful to me. Tell the truth, open your mind. Love unconditionally as many people as you can let inside. And don't forget to include yourself at the back of the line. And remember that you don't always have to be emotionally on time. So, my friends, is this good morning or is this good night? You know what I mean? And when I'm talking about writing stuff, that stems from been inspired by every single person I meet in this process. I'm never running out because I'm hearing stories every day.
Okay. Er hat gerade ein Gedicht für uns vorgelesen, das er gerade vor ein paar Tagen geschrieben hat, als er nicht schlafen konnte. Er nennt das Gedicht 3:56, weil es so spät war, konnte dann nicht schlafen. Und er sagt, dass er im Prinzip permanent Inspiration bekommt, dadurch, dass er immer wieder neue Menschen kennenlernt. Und das nutzt er dann als Stoff für weitere Inspiration, sei es Texte oder Gedichte oder Musik oder was auch immer. Und er sagt, dass er vor kurzem ein Interview mit John Lennon gelesen hat. Und John Lennon hat gesagt, dass am wichtigsten sei es, immer die Wahrheit zu erzählen und bedingungslos zu lieben. Und wenn man das macht, kann man nicht so viel verkehrt im Leben machen. Und hier ist jetzt noch ein Stück von seinem Debütalbum vom letzten Jahr. Hier ist Youngblood mit Psychotic Kids von dem Album 21st Century Liability. I think a really important aspect of what you do is the fact that it always sounds so fresh. I mean, it's early days, yeah. I mean, a debut album, one hopes it would sound fresh. But there's nothing musically tired or jaded about it. I mean, you get a lot of new music from so-called young bands with debut albums where it sounds so derivative and just too much of a throwback to the past.
Completely.
And I think in your case, I mean, it's okay, you tend to mix genres, which also possibly has the advantage about, you know, you manage to draw people in from different backgrounds,
avenues.
Possibly. Yeah, you know, people, maybe somebody's into The Clash is going to like you, and somebody's into Travis Scott's going to like
exactly.
You.
Exactly. You know, I mean, that's the
and that
whole
doesn't happen
point.
All the time, does it?
No, because and that's the whole point. It's I think it's about being fearless in the music. Like one thing I'm like, without sounding like an arrogant idiot, one thing I'm good at is taking bits from songs I love and mixing them together. So, for example, I'll hear a gospel line in a Kanye West song and mix it with a drum beat from Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols, And that's what'll sound cool to me. And I'll take a reference from The Headmaster's Ritual by the Smiths. And I'll say to my producer, right, sick, how can we twist it?
Okay.
Cool. This sounds awesome. How can we mess it up? That's what I say. Everyone's like, what? And then 6 hours later, we come out with something that sounds like nothing else. Because it's about going, okay, cool, how can we mess it up? How can we twist it? How can we push this over the edge? How do we not settle? Because if you settle, you know what I mean? You ain't pushing anything forward.
Right.
And it's not dangerous. It's not chaotic. So I love danger and chaos.
Right. And also, just pushing the music forward, and that's first and foremost in your mind.
Always, and that's it, man, and pushing the message and pushing the music forward and reaching as many people. Like, dude, on my new record, I've got a gospel song.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I want people to be like, Youngblood just did a gospel song.
Right.
And people are like, why? I'm like, is that Youngblood? It's like, well, I wrote it.
Okay.
So, yeah, it is.
Ja, er sagt, dass er immer sehr abenteuerlustig ist, wenn es darum geht, Song zu komponieren. Und er meinte, er lässt sich inspirieren von irgend so Gospel- Komponenten von Kanye West und dann verbindet er das mit so einem Schlagzeug-Beat von Anarchy in the UK von den Sex Pistols und dann vielleicht ein bisschen Inspiration von einem alten Song von The Smiths wie Headmaster's Ritual. Und er meinte, dadurch klingt seine Musik auch so frisch, weil es so ein lustiger Mischmasch ist, so genreübergreifend eigentlich. Und dadurch will er frisch und innovativ bleiben. Und das ist für ihn total wichtig, dass die Musik sich weiterentwickelt und dass seine Botschaft sich weiterentwickelt. So at the end of the day, I mean, off air, before we started, we were just talking about the punk generation in Manchester in the late 70s and stuff like that. And you remind me of all that, really. I mean, at the end of the day, you're a punk, aren't you? You know?
I mean, the thing about it is, man, that just turned me on so much.
Yeah.
The way I wanted to be there, I wanted to feel that fire in my belly, and I feel it right now. There's so much fire. Tonight there's gonna be what? There's Doc's old 1600, 1800, something like that. There's gonna be fire in everyone, no matter what age you are, because it's fun, it's mental, but we're there for one common reason. Und that's each other.
Okay. Ja, ich sagte das, wenn ich ihn so reden höre, dann es erinnert mich an die alte Punk-Attitüde aus den 70er Jahren, diese erste Generation von Punks, und das hat im Prinzip bestätigt. Er meinte, es geht um das Feuer im Bauch. Das ist das, was er empfindet, die Leidenschaft, das Feuer. Und er meinte heute Abend in Docks, er meinte, es wird total abgedreht sein, es wird total leidenschaftlich sein, es wird feurig sein. Und er meinte, das Publikum wird genauso empfinden wie er. Und er meinte, es hat alles einen Sinn und einen gemeinsamen Nenner. Die sind alle füreinander da. Er ist für das Publikum da und das Publikum ist für ihn da. Und es ist eine gemeinsame Aktion und es wird ein ganz toller Feier werden. Also heute Abend mit dem gemeinsamen Feuer im Bauch. Yeah, well, thanks very much for coming out to talk to me.
Thank you for having me, man.
It was good to talk to you. And what would you like to hear to finish off, maybe, from the EP?
Oh, let's have a gander. Probably Brain Dead. Let's blow their heads off.
Exactly, a chaotic end to proceedings.
Let's go.
Okay, good to see you. Thank you.
You too.
So, Brain Dead, yet turn of your von der neuen EP, hopefully underrated. And that's what an Club mit Paul Basketball, man. Studio guest war Youngblood, alias Dominic Harrison. Und ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Die Nachrichten.